House Renata? Awesome! Great! There are a lot of great songs based upon the revealed names of God, so that we can know Him better, get closer to Him, love Him more deeply, and walk closer. So we'd like to ask you to take out your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 17. And while you're doing that, if you would also take out the outline as we take a look at another name revealed by God of Himself. Not a label. It reveals His character and nature. Aren't you glad that God cares about each and every one of us so much? And He wants to have that loving relationship with each of us individually. He knows us so well, but He also wants us to know Him well. That's what a relationship is all about, isn't it? As we know Him more fully, you and I can make Him more fully known to others. Our children, our grandchildren, our next door neighbor. Genesis chapter 17. We'll be going through a couple of chapters before that, but you know, the question is, well, what's in the name? Well, Bill Shakespeare said that, you know, a rose is a rose by any other name, still smells the same. Well, that's okay for roses, but it's not good for our God. No, He has many names, and He has revealed them to us in His Word, and finally and fully in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the absolute completion and fulfillment of all of the names of God revealed in God's Word. He is the living Word. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Do you know Him? He communicates, He conveys that new life every day to His children. Yeah. Genesis chapter 17. You have the outline before you. We're taking a look at the very beginning there. When Abraham was 99 years old. Anybody here 99 yet? No? Okay. We've known some that were very close, and we're going to go down to see a brother in the Lord who's 92. We told him when we were going to get down, and he said, well, I hope I'm still around while you're down here. 99. Can you think of that? 99 years old. And there's something special, too, about this age. That's why it's in there in the Word of God. We'll see why. And it's directly related to El Shaddai. 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and He said to him, I am. Wonderful I ams in Scripture, and this is one of the many of those. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. The statement before you, God reveals Himself fully so that we, by faith, Abraham believed God, and God accounted that unto him as righteous. By faith we are saved in Jesus Christ, okay? He revealed Himself fully so that we, by faith, might experience His all-sufficiency in our daily lives and for all eternity. Would you underline that? Experience His all-sufficiency. That's what we're talking about. We look at His name, El Shaddai, His all-sufficiency for our daily lives and for all of eternity. Just as the Apostle Peter writes, and it was read just a few moments ago, His divine power in Christ Jesus, revealed in Christ, fulfilled in Christ, His divine power has granted to us all things. Circle that, all things. Does that cover everything?
Yeah.
It sure does. When God says all, He means all, okay? So there's nothing outside of the things in your life and my life that God can't control. There's nothing outside of your life and my life that God isn't interested in. Okay? All things that pertain to life and godliness, circle those two things, life, your life, my life, in Christ Jesus, and godliness. It defines who we are and what we do. Okay, the character of our life in Christ and our conduct. We'll get more to that later on. That through the knowledge of Him, do you know Him? That word knowledge here is epignosko, which means a relationship, not just an intellectual knowledge. I ask people, do you know Jesus Christ? Oh yeah, I know about Him. I went to Sunday school, I went to Goodness Club, various other things. No, it's a personal relationship. It's not an intellectual knowing, but it's a relational knowing. It certainly affects our intellect, it affects our emotions. It affects every part of us. That's because of who He is. He's Jesus Christ. He's El Shaddai. Through the knowledge, the personal relational knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. I've shared with you of these past weeks some of the reasons why we should study in God's name. So let me just put a little a little commercial in, if you don't mind. Sometimes people ask, well, where do you get those names? We read in the English Bible, and we don't see El Shaddai there. We see God Almighty there in Genesis chapter 17. Well, the original is El Shaddai, and we're going to take a look at what all that means and what it conveys. God Almighty really comes very, very short of the fullness and the breadth of what that name means. We're going to look at that shortly. But, you know, one of the ways, and we try to encourage every brother and sister in Christ to study the Word of God. In fact, we're commanded to study the Word of God. So we need to encourage each other to study the Word of God. And God has wonderfully, providentially blessed us here in our culture, in our time, where you and I have many different translations available to us. And we also have different, we have Bibles that like the Pew Bible, but we also have study Bibles. How many here have study Bibles? Raise your hand. Great, awesome, I didn't think it was that many. Now, if you don't have a study Bible, if you have a study Bible, you read in Genesis chapter 17, for instance, as an example, and you'll see that God Almighty, and you'll have a little footnote, and it'll say, well, it really means El Shaddai, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, okay? So if you don't have a study Bible, a great investment you can make, personally, as you study the Word of God, get a study Bible. The ESV, which we're going to be going to in the Pew Bibles, that it has a great study Bible right now. Probably one of the best ones right available. There are many good Bible studies or study Bibles. That's a very good one. I encourage you to pick up a study Bible. If you have an NIV study Bible, that's great too. Or NASB study Bible, that's fine. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have a study Bible, make it a point to pick one up this year. Okay? It's a good goal. Additional reasons. Take a look at your outline before you. Additional reasons to study and personally apply. Circle that. Personally apply. It's not just to have head knowledge, but it's to have life experience. Okay? Daily experience for life and what? Godliness, okay? So circle that. Personally apply the revealed names of God. First one, and these are in addition to what we shared with you over the previous weeks as we've gone into the study. To understand the meaning and application of the names of God in the context of Scripture. Because that gives us the background, it gives us the reason, it gives us why God is revealing himself now as El Shaddai, or whatever other name he uses to reveal himself, his character, and nature. So I want to see in context, and this morning we're going to take a look at it in context. It gives insight into the ways of God in the lives of his people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. And as he worked in the lives and through the lives of his people then, he's working in the lives and through the lives of his people today. And El Shaddai is the same living Lord and God. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Another reason, to learn that the only one sufficient to satisfy our needs and fulfill his plan for our lives is God himself. It's his plan for his people, and he's going to work his plan through the lives of his people. For his glory and for our good, okay? Without him, take a look at this. Maybe you don't agree with us. I meet people a lot of times that don't agree with us, but their lives show it. Sometimes there's a disconnect. What people mentally agree with or disagree with, and how their lives are a disconnect with that. Have you ever met anybody like that? I used to be one of those, and I'm still struggling with making sure that what I believe is really integrated into what I do. Maybe you're doing that too, aren't you? You know, what you believe has to be shown in how you live. Well, take a look at this next sentence. It says, without his life, without El Shaddai's life, without the life of Jesus Christ in you, life is meaningless, it's hopeless, it's filled with unsatisfied desires. I was there. Maybe you were too. Without Jesus Christ, your life is never going to be complete. I know that for a fact. Okay? And unsatisfied desires, or at the best, momentary satisfaction. You know, instant gratification, what our society yearns for every day, every moment of every day. We are all created with deep needs that only our Creator can meet. And he reveals himself through those names to show that he is more than able and all sufficient to meet those needs that you and I have. And lastly, this is a good one to remember too. This is a great reason to study the names of God so that we can know him more fully and make him more fully known to others. But there's something else too. Take a look here. We learn how to relate to the one whose image we bear. Even the unsaved person bears the image of God. Yes, it's distorted. It's disfigured because of sin. But God will restore that image when they come to Jesus Christ. And it's a process known as sanctification. But let's go on. Our adversary, do you have an adversary? You sure do. His name is Satan. He's the devil. Okay? Our adversary, the devil, will always try to distort. Now listen to this. He will always try to distort and denigrate the character and the true image of God. All the time. Both in the life of God's created beings, as well as in the communication of God's word. Okay? Knowing God as he has revealed himself is the greatest defense, or deterrent, if you will, against those slanderous attacks from the evil one. Another reason why we should be studying the names of God, so that we can give a sure and clear and truthful defense against the lies. Because when you know the truth, you won't believe the lie. Okay? Let's go on. Okay? That's El Shaddai. And you have a very brief explanation of the word in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. And I say it's unfortunate in one sense, because as it's translated in most English translations, it's God Almighty. In your translation before you, whether you have the NIV, the NASB, or the ESV, or what have you, it's translated God Almighty. But as we take a look at that, and you'll see in your explanation, it's a compound name of El. Now, last week we looked at El or Elohim, the full name, the shortened one is El, means the mighty one, the one of power, the one who created all things and controls them by his word and the power of his word. And so El means, connotes or conveys that understanding of power and might. But it's also connected with Shaddai. And the word Shaddai, the root word for that is Shad, which is a mother's breast. One who gives sustenance, one who gives comfort, one who gives strength. And so the word, it's interesting. Let me give you just a little bit of a background, if you will. In the Greek Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. It was translated back in 2000 BC. 250 BC, forgive me. 250 BC. And the reason why it has LXX or 70 in the Roman numerals is because tradition says there were 70 rabbis and scribes that got together, and they wanted to have the Hebrew text translated into Greek because many of the Jewish people, their mother tongue became Greek because of just being transplanted in different areas. So they wanted to have it in Greek. Well, what they did, they translated this Genesis chapter 17, where it comes to El Shaddai in the Hebrew, and they translated ikonos. Now, the word ikonos means sufficient. And the context of El Shaddai, it means the mighty and all-sufficient one. Where we got God Almighty, it was around 200 AD, about 200 years after the birth and death of Christ, that Jerome translated the Greek and Hebrew Bible into Latin, called the Latin Vulgate, which the Roman Catholic Church has had for many years as part of its heritage, if you will. And so what Jerome did, what he did when he translated the Hebrew El Shaddai in Genesis chapter 17, he translated God, or El, Almighty, for Shaddai. He missed the mark. He missed the mark. You see, El represents power and might. So yes, the mighty one who is all sufficient, Shaddai. Now, I know for some of you, I see your eyes glazing over, but I think it's important that we understand how we got to where we are in the understanding of God's names. So that if we can make a little more effort in studying, we begin to see, wow, there's so much more there in the name of God, El Shaddai, that I never saw before. Yes, he is the one who sustains. He is the one who nourishes. He's the one who strengthens. He's the one who comforts. And Shaddai is all of that, conveying the character and nature of God, your God and my God, who is El Shaddai. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. And so that's just kind of a very brief overview of what you have in briefer form back here before you, okay? So Genesis chapter 17, you're all there? 17 verses 1 through 8. Our covenant making and keeping. When God makes a covenant, he keeps a covenant. When God makes a promise, he fulfills that promise. Our covenant making and keeping, El Shaddai. Now, I've asked you to turn to Genesis 17. We want to see where the Abrahamic covenant began. So we have a little bit of the context as we come up to the name that God revealed himself when he says, I am El Shaddai. Genesis chapter 12. Just turn over to Genesis chapter 12, just a couple chapters before 17. And this is where God is calling Abraham, and God makes his covenant with Abraham. This is the first declaration of God's covenant with Abraham. And then he periodically reminds Abraham and reiterates that covenant a number of times. But Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Abram, not Abraham yet, Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Inherent in this first announcement, declaration, and making of this covenant with Abraham, God said, I'm going to bless you with a family. I'm going to bless you with a family. Now, Abraham was pretty old back then, okay? And he was actually, at that time, he was 75. How many here are 75? Don't raise your hand. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Hey, how would you like to start a family now? Hey? A guy can do it. He did it with Abraham. But he probably doesn't want to do that right now in your life. But Abraham was 75. And you see, before that, in chapter 11, it says that Sarai, that was her name first, Sarai, was childless. She was barren. Now, in those days, in that culture, it was important to have children. Not just for Social Security benefits, if you will, okay? It was important to have children because you realize that was part of God's blessing. And that you would have your children, your children's children would have children, and your name would go on. And so, when you're barren, people would begin to look, ooh, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with them? Is God cursing them? You see, there was a lot that people incorporate into that observation or perception that they had of barrenness and being childless. And so she was childless. And yet here God is saying, I'm going to make you a nation. Well, wait a second. We don't even have children yet. Yet, okay? And so Genesis chapter 12, it begins. But it doesn't stop there. Genesis chapter 15, take a look. God reiterates that covenant. By now, it's 10 years later. And Abraham is still waiting. And so is Sarai. He said, we're going to have a family. We're going to have generations that follow. You don't have anybody. What's happening? Is God? Is Jehovah God faithful? Yes, he is. One of his names is faithful. But Genesis 15, after these things, this, of course, he's about 85 and Sarai is 75. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Right away, Abraham and Sarai thinking reward, yes, children, family, generations. They weren't thinking about real estate in particular, although that was part of the covenant. But Abram said, oh Lord God, what will you give me for I continue childless? That was on his mind. That was on his heart. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. He had a servant in his house. Eliezer was his name. And so Abram was trying to help God out. He said, you know, in so many words, well, I've waited 10 years and Sarah isn't pregnant yet. Maybe Eleazar can be the heir. Maybe he can make my name great, representing me. What does God say? And Abraham, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall what? Not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. All right, you're saying that, Lord, but we don't have a son. Well, a year later, Sarai is still not pregnant. Eliezer is still there, but the Lord said, no. Got an idea. How about we use Hagar? Sarai's servant. And that's what they did in chapter 16. You see what I'm saying here is that El Shaddai, and that's where God reveals his name as El Shaddai in chapter 17. Because he wanted to be sure that Abram and Sarai knew that he was in control and he would fulfill his covenant promises in a way that only God can. And in spite of Abram and Sarai trying to help God, have you ever been there trying to help God out? Huh? Diane and I have a number of times. And you know something? It doesn't work. I can remember, well, I won't go into that story some other time. I'll share that with you. But we made a move and moved in with another family. And just a short version of the story, okay? And within a week, we realized, this is not what God wanted. He wanted us to prepare for the ministry, but not in this direction. And within a week, we made two moves. We moved in, we moved out. Yeah, we were trying to help God out. Have you ever been there? Well, Abram and Sarah were there. Well, it doesn't work. And so, you know, out of sometimes frustration because you're waiting and waiting and waiting and God hasn't seemed to be answering your prayer. Have you been there? I have. We all have, right? God is showing us through the example of Abram and Sarai, but most importantly in his name, El Shaddai, that, you know, God is worth waiting on. He really, really is. Okay? Take a look. Genesis chapter 17. We're there now, okay? Verse 1. When Abram was what? 99. Wow. That's many years later after God says, I'm going to make you a nation, give you children. Genesis 17. And Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. I am the mighty, all-sufficient one. That would be a better translation of this here. El being mighty, all-powerful. I am the mighty, all-sufficient one. Notice he says, I am. God didn't come and say, look, Abram, this is my name. This is what I want you to call me. As a label. No. He said, I am the very person of God. The very person of God is all sufficient for all of our needs, both individually, as our families, and for his church, right here at South Mount Bible Church. Here in the statement, I am El Shaddai, walk before me in blameless, you see a revelation of his name, his character, his nature, but also we see a relationship. Walk before me. In other words, walk with me. Lord, the Lord was saying, you know, walk with me. Walk before me. But also there's a responsibility that you and I have too. As we walk with the Lord, he is El Shaddai, and he's all sufficient for all of our needs as we walk with him daily for life and godliness. But he holds us accountable too. We are responsible for how we walk. We'll get into that shortly. In your outline before you, El Shaddai promised what only he could do. Notice what he says. And the I wills here at chapter 17. Let's pick it up in verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. He said, I'm going to give you a family. That's what Abraham wanted. And Sarai also. I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make you into a nation. Kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant. He goes on. There are five. 5 I wills. What God will do, and only God could do, and El Shaddai did in his life. Abraham had a part in it. Sarai had a part in it, too. Just like you and I have our part in the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation, working it out, not working for, but working out what God is working in you. So that you and I, we find our all sufficiency in the Lord God for life and godliness, but we also realize that he wants us to walk blamelessly before one another and with one another and before others. So we also have our part as we respond to God's grace. We'll get a little bit more into that when we look at the name that you and I bear. You see, God wanted Abram and Sarai to remember that he was doing something special that only he could do in fulfilling his covenant promises. That El Shaddai, the mighty, all-sufficient one, was going to fulfill all these declarations of I will. And then he goes on to say, you know what? I'm going to change your name. You're no longer Abram, but now you're Abraham. And, oh, by the way, Sarai, your name is Sarah. Just so they remember what God has done and is doing in their life. Beloved, you and I are members and participants in a new covenant. That new covenant is in Jesus Christ. You know that he's given you a new name? Now, I know when we get in glory, we're going to have new names too. But you know right now he's given you a new name? Do you know what that name is? Anybody? Christian. That's the name we bear. That's the name that El Shaddai has given to you and me because of our faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. Christian, when it was first applied to the followers of Jesus Christ, it was in a diminutive form, and it meant little Christ. In fact, the people were denigrating followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were persecuting them, and they were making fun of them. They said, oh, look at that little Christ. Yes. I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed, and I'm not embarrassed about that name. Are you? God gives us a new name the moment you and I come to Christ. Turn with me to Acts. Hold Genesis chapter 17. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul is before Herod Agrippa. Paul gives his testimony of faith and new life in Jesus Christ a number of times. And one of the times is before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, take a look at verse 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. King Agrippa was exposed to the prophetic writings of the Jewish scriptures. But notice what Agrippa, verse 28, said to him. Agrippa said to Paul, in short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? There it is. He's using that name. The name that Paul wore. The name that Lydia wore. The name that you and I bear. You know, in this verse here, 28, an alternate translation. And here's where a study Bible will come in handy, where Agrippa is saying to Paul, in short, would you persuade me to be a Christian? An alternate translation is, in short, would you persuade me to act like a Christian? That is a good translation of that. But beloved, El Shaddai, and his name is Jesus, has to come into your life and my life to make us a Christian, to enable us to act like a Christian. It was important for Abram to become Abraham, for Sarai to become Sarah,
but it's also important for you and I, having come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we bear another name, Christian. And only El Shaddai, the one who is mighty and all-sufficient one, can enable us to walk before him and others blamelessly. Now, does that mean we walk perfectly? No, I wish it did. Abraham, Sarah were not perfect. But God was with them, and he was enabling them to walk a walk of faith. So what, all of this? That's a great question. For whatever was written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Brother, sister in Christ, are you without hope this morning? I think that young man I was talking to this morning in the lobby, he was without hope. Are you without hope? El Shaddai is the God of hope. Paul says that in Romans chapter 15. He's the God of all hope. If you know Jesus Christ, you also know El Shaddai. They're one and the same. And see, as we read Old Testament scripture, it's not only to instruct us, but to give us encouragement that we might have hope. In your outline before you, remember that word ikonos from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament? It meant sufficient one. Take a look at the verse that you have before you, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Such is the confidence, Paul writes, that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are, that's that word there, that they use in the Greek Septuagint when they translated Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, not God Almighty, but the mighty one who's all sufficient. Same word. Are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our what? Our sufficiency is from who? From God. Beloved, that should give us hope, expectation, anticipation. That's what elpis, that's what the word hope in the New Testament means. I can expect God to be faithful, for he is faithful. I can expect God to be all sufficient for all of my needs and all of your needs, because he is all sufficient. Our sufficiency is from God who made us competent. It's interesting. The translation there is really from the same word, ikonos. Made us sufficient or competent to be ministers of a new covenant. Not in the letter, but in the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. I find it interesting. In this passage alone, you have all three members of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Because all three are El Shaddai. All three are all sufficient. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Yes. How do you experience that? Take a look, if you will. We have a few more I wills here, but not all of them. And you want to write these, if you will. If you have a pen or pencil, so go ahead and write these in. This is what God, this is what El Shaddai, this is what Jesus Christ, this is what God the Father, this is what the Holy Spirit affirms to your heart in the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Take a look. I will give you new life. New life. I will forgive all your sins. I will adopt you into my family. I will give you eternal life. I will dwell within you. I will transform your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will take you to myself. All of these are rich promises, and many more I wills declared by God himself to his children today in the new covenant. No matter what your personal situation is right now, you hear this, please. No matter what your or our personal situation is right now, God can supply every need that we have. Individually, individual families, and as a church family. It's revealed in his names, and it's revealed in his Son. And my God shall supply all, every need you have, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Maybe you have a need right now for peace. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your life. Peace in your family. I don't know. Maybe you have other needs. But I can tell you right now, from God's word, God is the Almighty and All-Sufficient One to meet that need. I know that personally. I've seen it personally in the lives of others. Whatever your need is right now, God will cover you. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you that the greatest of covering of all is the covering of the righteousness of your Son upon us, that we can, in his righteousness, come before you, seeking to grow in that relationship with you, knowing you more intimately, more fully, to be sure that we can make you more fully known to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, but also that we can experience more fully your all-sufficiency for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray and praise you. Amen.